Hello, Cinnabar Moths, or any kind of moth you'd like to be. Welcome to the Writer's Triangle Cinnabar Moths podcast about all things publishing and books. Today we are here with Nevada, author of Poser. Nevada, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. Are you feeling excited about the release of Poser in spring of 2022?
Yes, I'm very excited. This will be my first prose novel that's been published, and so I'm really excited for that.
Okay, so you have been published before.
Well, actually, I've self-published some graphic novels, some hand-drawn graphic novels based on some screenplays that I've written. One is called Uptowners, and the other one, Piano Lessons. And then I have one that's a sequel to Uptowners called Queensgate. But this is the first time, I've been writing for quite a while. But this is the first time that I'll have a novel published. I've written several screenplays, but this is my first novel that's been published. I have a couple of manuscripts, but this is
So that must be an exciting thing. It's kind of different, is the experience, I imagine, is a bit different from screenplay to writing a novel.
It's very different. It's kind of for me, it was a bit of a steep learning curve. There's a lot, minimal description in a screenplay. The story all has to be there, and the character development, all that has to be there, but it's kind of minimal on description and things like that. And so I had to, when I adapted, well, this is based on a screenplay, actually, but when I adapted it into a novel, I thought it would take up a lot more space, more novel-length, but it actually turned out to be more like a novella. And then I got inspired, and then it went really long as a novel. Back on it, and then I could see that there would probably be more beyond that, and so I decided it would be a series.
So how long ago did you write Poser?
I wrote Poser about the screenplay upon which it's based about 20 years ago. It's set in Silicon Valley. It's set in San Francisco, and especially Palo Alto, California. And I'd been spending some summers out there, and I was just really inspired by the surroundings. And it's about a young man from the South who kind of ends up out there, and he's having a really rough time. He's kind of a failed drug dealer, and he's not doing very well at that job. And he works part-time at an S&M place in San Francisco, and one of his coworkers can see that he's having a really rough time and suggests that maybe he go lay low and kind of stay at her sister's guest house in Palo Alto. And I got inspired to write about that, just walking around the neighborhoods and San Francisco. When I go to a place, I like to walk around and get to know a place. I used to live in New Orleans, and I used to walk around there a lot and get inspired. But that's how it kind of got started. And then I decided to write a screenplay about it. I'd been doing a lot of screenplays, and then I worked on it for a long time as a screenplay. And it was only after I had decided to start learning more about TV writing, and so I started trying to do it as a TV script, and it was through that I actually developed some other characters and then decided to go through trying to adapt it as a novel.
Okay.
I think that worked out for me for now, but I still want to go, I'm still working on the TV part of it as well.
Okay. And so it's kind of a winding process from the original point to the novel version of it. And
yeah.
What was that process like for you? What was the experience? Was it painful at all, or was it pretty comfortable?
Yes, it was kind of a naturally unfolding. I mean, I thought that I had the whole story contained in the screenplay. It has kind of a happy ending. But then I realized there's a lot that happens beyond that seeming happy ending. And these characters' lives and relationships evolve so much more. And as I said, some new characters kind of showed up really strongly, and I wanted to write about them. And so it just kind of unfolded that way. It's like it just opened out from what I originally had with the screenplay, and I decided to pursue that. And I really did enjoy pursuing that. It's a very different, thing writing a novel than writing and adapting from a screenplay to a novel. You hear about novels getting adapted into screenplays and made into movies, but I was kind of going the opposite direction. And it was tricky at first, but it's that thing. The more I would write, the more comfortable I would get with that process, and I ended up enjoying it a lot.
Okay, that sounds quite amazing. And here it is a bit of a different experience to go from the opposite direction that a lot of people tend to go from. And so,
It is.
with that process, you have the writing process, which itself can take a while, but then there's another process through that where you have to find a publisher that wants to publish your book, and unless you're self-publishing, right? And so, how did you discover Outcast Publishing?
I discovered them on Twitter, and I had pretty much finished the novel, and I thought I need to look, and I started looking around. And when I would think of genre, I think of this as a bit of a noir story. I call it kind of a Silicon Valley noir with Southern Gothic roots in a way. And looking at different genres and what different publishers were doing, I thought, wow, I don't know where would be a good home for this. It might be harder than I thought to find a home for it. And then I discovered Outkast, and I started following them and what they were up to. Sebastian there at Outkast was doing some posts about transgressive fiction. And when I read those posts, I thought, wow, maybe this is what I'm doing. And I didn't even realize it. And so I was really excited to find them.
I mean, that's awesome. You were struggling to find a place that felt good, and then you found one with Outcast where you really felt like the book had a home.
I did.
And so that feeling of finding
And clicked.
the
And I thought, this one, yes.
And so that feeling of finding a home is what made you ultimately decide to publish with Outcast. And
Yes.
with that process of publishing with Outkast, what would you say has been the most surprising thing about the publication process?
I think how collaborative and how much fun it's been, and it's been great working with Sebastian. Pretty soon I'll be working with one of the editors there and some of the other folks, and it's just feeling supported by Outkast. With my work, and they'll work with me, and it's just been that collaborative process because writing is such a lonely thing. In a way, it can be fun. You're with your characters, and I enjoy discovering things about my characters. But then, when you're trying to get it out there into the world, it can be kind of daunting. And to have support with that, it's been wonderful. It's been surprising just how nice that is to have that.
Yeah, writing a book can be a very lonely process without people around you to kind of feed off of with their insight or just even them being like, that sounds cool. Even if it's not
Yes,
anything
that's true.
too serious. It's just I like
That's
that. That's
true.
really neat.
Yeah, I had some notes from readers, like in some of the screenplay contests, but that wasn't, I don't know. Well, at every stage, though, I mean, it's going to be interesting to have somebody commenting on things and helping with that, the editing process and getting it all just so for publication.
And so you're moving through the publication process right now, and you mentioned the most surprising thing about working with Outcast specifically, but do you have a same thing about the process of publication that surprised you in a more general sense? Like, you mentioned that you've done screenplays and published with screenplays, but I imagine that process for publication and screenplays is different from books.
Yes, and I think it surprised me how quickly this is all happening compared to, a screenplay can be in development forever for a long, long time, and just to get it, in the right person's hands can take a really, really, really long time, and this has gone really quickly. to me. I mean, it's like I said, I started the story, you know, the original thing I was working on for Poser a long, long time ago. But just this process has gone very quickly, and it's been surprising just how fast it's going to be out there in the world. You know, with screenplays, unless they get produced, it's pretty hard to do that. And that it's going to be a book out there in the world is really exciting. I think just how quickly it's going to happen. It seems like there's still some time, but it seems like it's right around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, if you compare it to, it was 20 years ago that you started writing it. With the screenplay version, and now it's coming out next year. That's a pretty close time compared to when it originally started. So I can imagine that's very exciting.
It is.
And with that excitement, do you plan to celebrate the release of Poser? And if so, do you have any? Can you go into how you're planning to celebrate it?
Yes. Well, my dream, I mean, what I would really love to do, and what I always said I would do when I ever sold a screenplay or published a novel or something like that, there's this little diner in Palo Alto called Peninsula Grill, and they have this special. I've been there, when I would be there before, I'd always say, I always want to do this. They have this special, it's like a cheeseburger and fries and a bottle of Dom Perignon, and I forget how much it cost, but I thought, if I ever, like, hit it big or get something published, get something done, and get that to celebrate. So that would be the dream. But until I get to do that, I'll just probably go out for a nice dinner and kind of a celebratory night on the night it's published.
Okay. You have the special diner that you want to go to that will kind of be the special celebration. For that, a follow-up on excitement, is your family excited about the release of Poser?
They are. I think my husband is the most excited because he's been with me. We've been married for like a little over 30 years, and he's kind of followed all the ups and downs and twists and turns of my writing and all my efforts with that. And he's really excited. I think he's the most excited in my family besides myself. He and my little Chihuahua Mitzi. She's my muse. She often sits on my lap as I write.
Well, that sounds very nice and comforting to have that. And so your husband's very excited about your book release, but you also mentioned that you have some other published works that you've done, not in novels.
Yes.
Please feel free to tell us a bit more about those.
Oh, those were graphic novels based on some screenplays I wrote. There's one set in contemporary New Orleans, which is kind of a dysfunctional family saga, and then I have another one called Piano Lessons, which is based on one of my screenplays that's, it's won some awards. It's a gay teen romance set in the rural South of the 1950s, and that's Piano Lessons. And then Queensgate is the sequel to Uptowners, and it's where the story just continues from where it left off, and it's set mostly in London with these two characters, and so, well, several others too, but it's this these two cousins, and one of them is kind of he was from a well-off family, but they kind of lost all their money and are kind of on the skids. And he and his cousins from the poor side of the family kind of go on these adventures.
Okay. So there's three works, one of which is a pair and the other one that's a standalone that already has quite a bit of recognition within screenplays.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. It must be very exciting to be able to also expand from doing the graphic novel and going into the novel direction as well.
Yes, it is. And again, it's very different. Yeah, I had worked on visual storytelling for so long, I felt like I just wanted to try the graphic novel. And I had made a short film several years ago. It was based on a short script of mine called Root of All Evil, R-O-U-T-E, of all evil, just kind of a little noir story about two girls with checkered past, and they meet this preacher with a checkered past. And I had storyboarded that. I directed it, and I had a part in it too, but I kind of wore a lot of hats on that short film production, but I'd storyboarded it, and that's what kind of got me interested in doing graphic novels. So that kind of just, it's like a big storyboard, and there's a steep learning curve with drawing and everything, because I hand drew everything myself. But I was walking around New Orleans all the time, and especially uptown, and it's just a, you know, it's just an interesting place. And I thought, well, since I look at these scenes all the time, that'll be my first effort, you know, trying to draw some of these things and kind of turn it into a narrative.
So that sounds like it was quite a unique experience as well, to learn and improve on and expand on drawing as the main form of storytelling within a work. Going back to Poser, what do you hope happens next with your career with Poser?
Well, I'm excited for the novel. I hope that people will be entertained by it and intrigued and want to follow the characters further into the series. And it's going to be called the Eucalyptus Lane novels will be the name of the series. And I do have, let's see, I have a pilot episode of a TV series based on it. And so it would be nice to see, you know, the novel kind of, you know, maybe someday get picked up as a TV series. I used to think I'd want to see it as a film, but I get excited now about the prospect of, you know, TV series with it. But I'm just thrilled that people are going to be able to read it, and I hope they enjoy it.
And so, following up on the TV series idea, what made you think that you'd prefer that it as a TV series over a film? What differences do you feel there are between the two options?
I just think that I'd be able to explore the characters and the storylines a lot better in a TV series. And I just think that part of it would be fun. I remember seeing Steve Soderbergh, he was doing a screening of his movie Kay, he was talking about how he wanted to make it as a movie. He thought, you know, it was interesting and wanted to do it as a movie. And then he ended up having to do a part two of the movie and going back to the studio and ask for more funding to do a part two. And then at that point, he was wishing that he had actually just, he thought, you know, I could have explored this more as a TV series. I think TV is a great way for developing, exploring storylines and different characters. And I just think it'll be, you know, I think of even playlists. I think of songs that would go along with some of the scenes and some of the things that happen in Poser. And the more the series, the more the novel series goes on, there'll be the same characters will be there and they'll be important, but then I'll be adding new characters who also have their own backgrounds and storylines and, you know, what's going on with them and how they relate to the, like, the original characters. And I just think that would be a fun thing to explore.
Okay, so for you, it's mostly a matter of the TV series aspect would allow you to kind of explore these alternating storylines and explore these other characters a bit more, as well as the main story, and still have it all be a cohesive whole, rather than movies tend to kind of just be like, here's a story, that's it, and it's a bit more limiting in that way.
Exactly. I feel like it would be more limiting. And I didn't realize that for a really long time when I first wrote the original screenplay. I didn't think that at all. But then the more I've gotten into these characters and kind of followed their, I guess you could say their arcs or the ways they evolve and the ways they change, I'm discovering things about them that I never really realized when I was writing the screenplay. And the more it goes on, the kind of changes, the transformations they go through. And I was able to explore that in the novel, and I think it's possible, if you're going to do that in a visual medium, I think it's more possible to do that through television series.
And so, having done the graphic novel, having done screenplay, and having done writing for the book, of the mediums, which do you feel has really helped you grasp the characters, the main characters, let's say, the most so far?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? What was that?
So you originally wrote a screenplay, and you've done work with graphic novels, and you end up writing the novel for Poser, and through that process, you've discovered the characters quite a bit. For the main characters, do you have any particular, like, part of that process where you felt you got to know them the best?
Wow. The part of the process where I got to know them the best. I think just in the screenplay, like I said, I mean, it's craft, and it all has to be there on the page with the story and character development, but I do feel like I got to delve into their consciousness more and where they're coming from and their motivation, all that. I mean, it has to be, I got more into their backgrounds and the things that made them the way they are in Poser, and then as they evolve in the next novel in the series and the third, I feel like, you know, I get to see them kind of even revisit things about their past and their families and things like that I didn't get to explore in the screenplay, or that I guess I could have, but it wouldn't have really had a place the way I had it structured. It wouldn't have really had a place in the story, and I feel like it very much has a place in the story in the novel. If I were to go back and do it just like as a feature film screenplay, I think I'd have to restructure it radically, include more to feel like it's more complete or the whole story. I feel like if I were to look at it now, I would feel like it's missing a lot, and I would have to go back and rethink the whole thing.
And so for you, it's been a massive transformation from the original screenplay to now.
Yes. Okay. It really has. I feel like it just opened out, yes. There was more to explore that I didn't realize until I started exploring it through the novel.
And so with that, with writing and everything, would you, if you had to choose a direction, would you want to continue writing novels, or do you think you'd prefer to go back to primarily doing screenplay writing, or what do you kind of see as your direction with this? Do you want to just do all of it? What's kind of your feeling now, having experienced, you know, the full kind of range?
Wow. I do want to still write screenplays, but I want to intensely continue pursuing the novel form for a while. Mm-hmm. And my screenplay craft is where I really want to work on. I feel like it's taken me a really long time to begin to find my fiction voice, and I want to continue exploring that for the, I guess, immediate and foreseeable future right now.
Okay. And so for you right now, it's just a matter of you discovered this new aspect of yourself, and you want to give yourself time to really refine your craft in that direction and explore your own creativity with this medium that you haven't used before.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I can understand that as well, because when I wrote my books, I've written a book as well. I had previously done a lot of writing with people in kind of a more short story type fashion, right?
And yeah.
Writing a novel is such a, even like from short story to novel or something that's a bit more interactive or interactive with other people, and writing a story together in that collaborative fashion, it's such a different experience having to write everything.
Yes. To me, short stories are so incredibly challenging to write because the brevity of them. You have to create a world in such a short space. To me, it's very difficult to write short stories. I guess when I do the first draft of a novel, the first draft of this one, I put a lot, I put so much more into it than I do the screenplay as far as details. Then I was afraid it was running too long. Then I took a lot out. And then I went back and kind of revisited it and put some more in. And it's just been finding that balance has been tricky. But short stories to me are challenging form. So
can you repeat that?
That's I'm great sorry. that you make very short stories. I found them really difficult to write.
Yeah, I personally also struggle a lot, even when I was doing some of the more short story style of, I've never had any of them published or anything or really shared them with other people, but when I did them, it was very much a challenge to keep myself from writing more than was necessary, so to speak, because I found myself getting caught up in, well, there's all these other characters that I could introduce, or there's all these other ideas that I could introduce.
Yes! Then it's like you open up a gate, and the more you write, the more you find to write about, which is great. But if you're, like you say, if you're working in that shorter form, it's a challenge to pick and choose.
Yeah.
And editing. What? I read a quote the other day by, I think it was Emma Thompson. I see these little, things about screenplay tips and stuff. And I think tip number one was, for a screenplay, write everything, then take it out. Take it all out. I was like, it's like, well, put everything you think it needs, and then you've got to go back and be ruthless, taking stuff out. Like, I guess taking out everything except for the bare bones blueprint of a story, which is what the screenplay, it is essentially a blueprint for something else, and a novel is the thing itself. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense, but I thought, that's why I've had kind of a hard time maybe to go in between forms like screenplay and novel, and it's a definite learning curve. I guess it's just, you just have to think of each thing kind of start from scratch with your story and not try to back and forth. Like, I would look back at the screenplay and put in, okay, well, this scene, and I would put pretty much what I had for that, but then I would realize, wow, this only takes up like one, this page only takes up one paragraph. I have to, fill it in and flesh it out and, fatten it up. But not, not with filler, but just to make it, I don't know, add a little more lifelike details to it. Because in a screenplay, you're collaborating with other people who are going to do the wardrobe and the set design and all these other things. It may have, it'll have a score, it'll have all these other things that you just figure, well, that'll be done. My job is to keep in mind and just do the story. But when you're doing the novel, there's you're doing the whole thing. And so I think it's a different mindset that you have to get in to do those different forms. Like you were saying with short story, you have to get, okay, well, I wanted to write all this, but then if I'm going to pull my camera lens back and just do short story, I've got to focus on, I guess, what would you say, theme and premise and all those kind of things. It just depends.
Yeah, I think the reverse of the very popular quote, a picture is worth 1,000 words, really applies here, because you don't have any of the pictures, so you need to add thousands of words to fill in the gap.
Exactly!
And so going back to Poser a little bit, if it became a bestseller, do you have any ideas of what you'd do to potentially celebrate that, or any follow-up to it that you'd like to do?
If it became a bestseller, I'd be really excited. I'd probably want to go on a big trip or something like that. if it were safe to do so in today's world. If it became a bestseller, I would want to do something. I'd want to do something nice for my folks, and for my husband who's been patient with me and been supportive all these years. I'd want to do something nice for all of them. That would be a wonderful and exciting thing.
Do you have any ideas of where you'd want to go on a trip if you could? Let's say it's a the world is completely safe for you to go anywhere that you want.
Oh, wow.
Do you have any ideas of a place that you'd want to go? Or
One
maybe
place
places?
Oh, there's so many places that I would love to go. There are a lot of places here in America that I still want to go visit. I've never been to New York City. but I've never been to Paris, and I have always wanted to go to Paris, so that might be my bestseller celebration trip.
So Paris, do you have any
I'd have
places?
to think of San I'd want to go to, oh gosh, I read a lot of books about Kiki's Paris and Paris in the 20s, and when Henry Miller was there and stuff like that. So I'd probably want to go to some of those areas that I've read about, like on the Left Bank, and is it pronounced Montmartre? So places like that I've read about, and writers that I've always enjoyed reading. I'd just like to go and explore Paris, and especially kind of the more bohemian side of Paris is what I've always been fascinated with, and I would just love to go and walk around. There's a scene in Poser where one of my characters is walking around those places, and I did a lot of research on them and looked at pictures, and I've always read about those places, but there's a bit of intrigue going on in some of those scenes, but I tried to put as much detail as I could in there, that I felt comfortable with about that. Just, things that I'd read, somewhat familiar with.
And so in a sense, you'd be visiting the places of Poser as your celebration for the book
Yes.
becoming a bestseller.
That would be the dream. I could start out in Palo Alto, San Francisco, go to Paris. There's some parts of the novel take place in Texas, so I'd have to make a run to Texas, although it's a teeny tiny small town in Texas, so I'd have to find some Texas small town to go visit. It's a fictional small town in Poser called Riviera, Texas. Where the main character is from, where he had a very difficult childhood. He goes back there later, but he doesn't really want to.
So there's quite a few places that you could end up going if you're traveling through Poser yourself. That
I
sounds
could
like a
do
very exciting
a
time.
poser road trip and then take it across the pond to Paris.
And you mentioned your husband's been very supportive through this entire process as well. Has he been providing you with any assistance with any of your research, for example, or reading your work and then kind of giving you feedback, or what has he been? Has he been involved that much into the process, or has he been more of a supportive, like you can do it and I believe in you type of
It's more
position?
been that. It's more that way. And sometimes I'll run an idea by him, and he'll give me his, candid reaction, and so that helps me out a lot. He hasn't, read. He hasn't. He hasn't read much of it. He used to read more of my work when we were first married, but he's really more of just a supportive force there. And then just like I might say, what do you think of this idea? And I'll run something by him like that, and he'll give me his just. His thoughts on it, his gut reaction to it.
That's always nice to have someone that you can go to for that type of thing, because
It is.
I remember when I was going through my book that I would go to my mother, Kistfer, who's very supportive through was very supportive through my process, but without her I would have really struggled with certain things where I'm like, I have this idea, but I'm not sure if it's a good idea, and I'd get caught up in kind of a mental loop, you know?
Yes, it's great to have somebody give you some feedback. It really is. It helps so much. It helps move you forward if you're stuck.
Yeah, it really does. And with Poser, you mentioned that it was a screenplay first, that you think you'd prefer it to be a TV series. And so if it became a bestseller, I suppose that would increase its chances of becoming one. And with that, you'd mentioned that you already had some ideas about it, what you'd want in a TV series. Do you have ideas about the types of people you'd want to cast into it, for example, or what ideas do you have that you really, really want to see done?
Let's see. I think there are a lot of actors who could do a really great job with some of the roles. The only one I guess I thought of a specific person, maybe because I saw a picture of him and I thought, wow, he looks like one of my main characters, is this actor named, I think it's Matt Jones, who he played Badger on Breaking Bad, and he's been in several other things since then. But I could see him maybe in one of the roles. And I've tried to think who I would cast or parts. There's a kind of a young man for the in his 20s for the main character, and he kind of starts out, he's not a tough guy at all, but he kind of turns into one in a way over the course of the not well, more into the next novel. Maybe we see some signs of that in the first one. There's a young woman, his friend, who offers him to stay at her sister's guest house. There's the sister and her husband, and so I think hard for me to focus on specific actors, but I think there are a lot of folks who can do a really good job with it, and maybe hopefully have some fun with some of the roles and some of the changes that the characters go through as well.
You mentioned that you had some musical scores or that you were thinking that you'd also want to include some songs that you thought would really fit. Is there an overall theme to those type to the music that you're thinking of?
Wow. Well, some of them are kind of retro, 80s and 90s. Some of them are more modern. It's kind of a very, on my playlist for Poser on Spotify, it's hectic. And then I have some kind of more rockabilly sounds, a little bit of country western mixed in, with the Texas background of the main character and his brother. And so I would say it's just very eclectic, little rap, some new wave music. And so it's a very, very eclectic mix.
And when it goes
Oh,
on.
and a little bit of Russian pop music thrown in
Oh,
too.
wow. That's quite a wide variety of different songs that capture. Yet somehow, I feel like they all capture generally a sort of mood. Just from hearing it, I can kind of picture some of the progression of the book in a way, just from hearing the songs that you've mentioned, and I think that's really nice.
Great. Well, thank you. I'm glad you can see that. That's great.
With the becoming a TV show, the different authors tend to have a different level of creative control they want over the process. Do you have a any strong feelings about particular aspects or anything that you really want to make sure that you have included in the TV show, or things that maybe you feel wouldn't fit as well, or what kind of level of control do you want during that process?
I would like to have some say so. I feel like there are people who would make great directors, and who would have their vision for it. I would like to have some measure of creative control, I guess, like a writer-producer type, maybe role, where I do have some say so, but let other people kind of do their thing, and just to make it entertaining and make it the best that it could be, and to make a good story that people would want to watch, and bring out the relationships between the characters, and just an engaging story. Sometimes when I've pitched it before, like I would mention, there are things I love about Breaking Bad, is one of my very favorite TV shows. And then this kind of blends, maybe, which that show did too, but the Poser kind of blends that kind of harder edge with the harder edges, Desperate Housewives, kind of things
I'm
you
sorry,
have
could you
there.
repeat that a little bit? You cut out a little bit, so could you repeat
Oh,
that?
I was just saying, my hope would be that it would have elements of, the harder edges of Breaking Bad, and then also something like Desperate Housewives as well. it's kind of on the surface, everything looks okay, but then it's kind of delves under the surface with some things.
Okay, so it has
Like
that
put
kind
on
of.
behind the scenes.
It has that kind of. There's the public mask, but then behind that mask is a lot of turmoil.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And delve into that part of it. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that would be a very interesting story to witness put onto the screen and shown in the visual medium rather than the written one.
Yeah.
And so if it became a TV show, there'd be a premiere. And would you want to go to the premiere? And if you did, who would you bring? I imagine you'd bring your husband.
I would bring my husband and if possible, my little chihuahua. Those would be the main folks probably that I would bring. If my folks were able to come, I would be happy for them to come. And if not, if they could, watch it or stream it some way, that would be great. Definitely I would want my husband to be with me. He's been with me through, all my twists and turns and ups and downs, and so I would want him to get to glam it up, at the premiere. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think that'd be really awesome. Do you have a particular glam style that you imagine that your husband would do?
Oh, wow. Well, let's see. I think he could rock a tuxedo. I think he could. He would give it his own twist. He wears jeans, but then he likes a sharp hat, sharp brim. And comfortable shoes. He carries a cane, and so kind of a sharp cane and a nice relaxed fitting tuxedo. Maybe
Okay.
something a little offbeat with the bow tie of it or something like that.
Okay. So you'd go for a sharp look and then just have a little bit of spice thrown in there somewhere.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
That sounds very nice. And like it would be he'd quite cut the figure on when
Oh,
he's there on the premiere.
yes.
So with premieres and with bestsellers and with that kind of success comes fame. And so, with fame, would you like to be as famous and as well known as someone like Stephen King, where people recognize you walking down the street, they might call out to you, or would you prefer a little bit less fame? What kind of level of famous would you want to be or have if you could control it, if you had like a specific goal for it?
Oh, wow. It's hard to say. I think it would be fun. I think it'd be fun and be great at first, but I wonder if it would continue to be great. But of course, then if you're doing that well, you'd want it to keep you'd want it to keep being successful, but then the fame part of it could be tricky to navigate, but let me just say, if it happened, I wouldn't mind having that chance for that to happen. So I think it would be fun. I would still want to have my place where I could go to spend a long time, though, because I'm a bit of an introvert, I guess, like a lot of writers are. But I teach as well, so it's like like you hear me now. I can chat a lot, but then I really need to kind of turn inward and so I guess it'd be harder to do that with a Stephen name, but I guess even some portion of Stephen King level of fame would be pretty nice.
You say you're a teacher. Do you teach
Yes.
children or adults?
Now I teach community college. I
Okay.
teach English, and I have taught literature and film, and creative writing, and screenwriting. I taught at Tulane University School of Continuing Studies. I used to teach screenwriting and art and craft of film studies,
Okay.
and then I've taught literature, English, and creative writing at a couple of community colleges. So I really enjoy that. I feel like I learn a lot from students as well. And in the creative writing, it's always fun to explore different genres with the students. Some of them already kind of know something they want to work on when they come into a class, and some of them are discovering forms that they want to try and writers that they want to explore more of their work. So I feel like I learn a lot just, you know, hearing their take on things.
Yeah, for sure. I think that having that kind of, you know, less experienced view on things can sometimes allow people to have a more uncommon take or twist on certain ideas or concepts that once you sort of get stuck in your ways might not be as easy to see.
Yes. There are some things that students will observe sometimes that I'm just like, wow. Or sometimes I might think, no, and then I think, yeah, that is an interesting way to look at it. I had kind of gotten stuck in my own way of looking at it and kind of gotten in maybe in a rut, even the way I maybe think of a story or would interpret a story, and then I hear a different interpretation, and at first I think, well, I don't know, and then I think, yeah, why not? They made a good case for it, you know. If I ask them, why do you think that? Went to Evan, and then they do, and I'm like, wow, you just kind of open up my whole perspective on that story. And so I love it when that happens, and that's happened sometimes where I'm like, you know, that's that gives me a whole new lens on some of the things that happen in a short story.
And so, following up from the previous question about fame and combining it with you being a teacher, if, let's say, Poser became a bestseller, went into being a TV show, you became super famous off of it, would you want to talk about your writing in your classes, or would you prefer to talk about other people's writing?
Oh, let's see. If it became famous, would I want to talk about it?
Yeah, or do you talk about it now, even?
Yes, I'd talk about it. I would be glad to talk about my own experience with writing, and the process that's involved, and sometimes the time it can take for something to develop. Because I know that I remember when I took my very first. At LSU years ago, I remember my teacher, the professor, said, you know, it may not be your first screenplay, because people are like, oh, my screenplay, I want it to hit big and all this. And he's like, it may not be your first screenplay. It may not be your second screenplay that hits it. It may not be your third. It may not be your tenth. And people were going, oh, no, it couldn't take that long. That's crazy. And he's like, it might. And you're like, you learn as you get older and you see how, you know, how it can take a long time for things to develop, and it can take a long time to really hone your craft and find your voice. And it can be really a long and winding road and difficult. And one thing, you know, it might be that one person, you know, really likes it, but you got to get it to the right person who really likes it and wants to produce it or do something with it, or you know, in the case of a novel, publish it. And that can take a lot of, like I said earlier, one of the things was how fast, you know.
Yeah.
Because some of my projects had taken so many years to develop, and the novel, since I've been working on it, you know, like 3 years, and it's coming out in the spring for Poser. Like with my first graphic novel, I was working on it for at least like 5 years. So I mean, it was long, because I had the screenplay, but I kind of revised that, the story, a little bit as I did it, and then the drawing part, there was a steep curve. I don't know if you know, like, how the earlier versions of The Simpsons look different from the later version of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And so it was taking so long that as I went through that, my drawing was better, but I had to go back and kind of redo some of my earlier drawings because, you know, to make it consistent throughout, which that made it take a really long time.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that's awesome that you'd be willing to talk about your work. I know some people aren't necessarily comfortable talking about the work, and that's awesome too. You know, everybody has kind of their own feelings about those types of things. But hopefully, Poser, when it comes out in spring, will have the success. And, you know, you did have you did find the people with Outcast Press and who are willing to publish it and who love it. And with that love and with all the care that you put into it, all the time and energy, I hope that it does find the success and that you do have the opportunity to reach out and, you know, touch a lot of people with this creative process.
Thank you so much. And thank you for this opportunity to talk about it. I really am grateful, and I really, really appreciate you talking about Cinnabar Moth and everything. This has just been so, so much fun.
It's been a pleasure having you today, and thank you, Nevada, for talking with me today and being on the Writer's Triangle. And thank you to all of our beautiful moths for listening. Be sure to go and check out Poser and buy it when it comes out in spring of 2022. And Nevada, can you tell us where to find you, any social media?
Yes, I'm on Instagram at Nevada Writes, and I'm also on Twitter. I'm trying to think of my Twitter handle, but that's where you can find me, Nevada McPherson. Okay. Nevada McPherson 3 on Twitter handle.
Yeah. And
my website is www.nevadamcpherson.com too.
Okay. And so for all of you listening, if you'd like to know more about Nevada, feel free to check out the social media and be sure to visit cinnabarmoth.com and check out the transcripts for today's podcast. And we'll also have all the links to Nevada's social media there available as well. Nevada, thank you for talking with us today. And I hope that you have
Thank you so much. I've had so much fun.
And I hope that you have a nice evening. Goodbye.
Thank you. I hope you do too. Thank you.